Greetings. Welcome to the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program today, August 6th, 2026. Today, I'm going to continue in the last program, the Jesus Movement Jumped the Ocean Back to Europe. Today, I'm going to discuss on this program the Jesus Movement, because of the apostasy in this country, would jump the Pacific Ocean and move to Asia. So in 1976, when Jimmy Carter became president, the spiritual heavens over America closed. Again, Jimmy Carter's older brother, John F. Kennedy, opened in 1960, the heavens spiritually opened over the United States of America for God's visit, the visit of the Holy Spirit to the baby boom generation children, referred to as the Jesus Movement. 16 years of the Holy Spirit pouring and working with the youth of the baby boom generation. With the half-brother, again, Jimmy Carter becoming president, the heavens spiritually closed. But God had done his work with many of the youth in America. Many were already operating in their giftings, in their ministries, in their abilities in Christ. And as I stated in the previous program, into Eastern Europe, Michael McKibben, the Living Sound group of Christians out of America, working with Christians in the Soviet nations between 1977 1982, and the Holy Spirit began his work in Europe. There were many ministries involved in that, the John Wimber movement, the Vineyard movement. They had many of the members of that church that had gone over and were part of that. I'm going to discuss in just a second what happened in Asia. Before I do, the way to these programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. Thispresenttruth.com is the website. And the section is the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry section. And my contact information is Rick Rodriguez, which I should introduce myself. Rick Rodriguez, the founder of the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry, 2001 in June. Rick Rodriguez, or Olive Tree Ministry, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. I will always give the contact information, the website, at the beginning of the programs and also at the end. Okay, then, in these past five programs, I am really focusing on the olive tree and lampstands in Revelation chapter 1. These lampstands is the vehicle that Christ would use through the centuries to the present. All exist. All are still alive. They are all members internationally in one of these churches. I am an evangelical believer. I am a member in the Church of Laodicea. I am a Laodicean believer of the end of days. They're the Catholics. They are the members in the Church of Thyatira. the Catholic Church. The Lutherans would be the Church of Sardis. They are those members of the Church of Sardis. The Greek churches are the churches of Pergamos. This is how you can identify these churches in time today. All of these assemblies, all of these seven lampstands are presently in, you might say, rooted in the United States of America as a corporate family. But still, internationally, they have their distinct personalities internationally. I'm going to discuss two men that I work with. I mentioned already in previous programs Ron Perry. And Ron Perry and I worked together up until about 2012 in that time. And then I moved. My mother-in-law had health issues up in Salt Lake. My wife and I began to spend more time out of Las Vegas. And Ron continued. He moved to Southern California, Yucaipa, and he ministered in Southern California. He began his ministry in Southern California, and then he would eventually end up in Southern California once again, and then he would finish his ministry in Delta, Colorado. And he would pass away here in Colorado in about 2021. He was put in the hospital for a knee problem, and he never came out. Supposedly COVID-related. Might have been 2021. But the second individual is a brother that I had known from my early days in the local church, 1974. And then he would eventually, his name was Max de Rappaport. He would eventually leave the local churches, and he would move to Denver, and he would become a pastor of the Vineyard Ministries in Denver, in Aurora. He was friends with John Wimber, and they'd known each other being in Southern California in his early years of his conversion, early 60s. He would meet members of the local church and become a right-hand man to some degree with Witness Lee in the local churches. He was very dynamic. And later, after leaving the local church, he'd be in Denver. Then he would move back to Southern California, and that's where he finished his ministering in the years before his death. So Ron Perry and I, we are traveling back and forth from Las Vegas to Yucaipa, California, in 2011. And I called Max one day and said, "Max, I'm going to be down in your area. Let's get together. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine." And we arranged to get together. We went to a Marie Callender's for lunch, and I introduced Ron to Max and Max to Ron. And we're sitting before the after the water, and as they were getting ready to take our drinks before ordering. This is important. What I'm telling you is not just a story, not just something random. Christ will not only jump the ocean to the east into Europe, the Holy Spirit, the baby boom generation is now the Jesus movement of America is concluded. But now the Lord has trained people within that movement that would go to Europe. God has also trained people in the Jesus period that would go to Asia. So Ron, Max and I, Max Rappaport, Ron Perry, we're visiting. Max looks at Ron and he says, "You know, what was your name?" And he said, "Ron, what was your last name?" And he said, "Perry." He goes, "Perry, Ron Perry." He goes, "You know, Ron, there was a brother that when I'm down on the beach, Huntington Beach and the beaches here in Southern California, I'm out preaching the gospel. My wife and I are out preaching the gospel, and we run into a man. His name was Nate Perry. And my wife and I, we really loved this man, and we really liked his teachings, and we began to go to some of his meetings. He said, and Ron looked at Max and said, "That's my father." Max said, "No." Ron said, "That is Nate. Nate is my father." And they had a conversation that was just unbelievable. And Max tells Ron, I love the way your father preached the gospel, and I patterned my preaching the same way. And I felt it was very effective. He said, your father, he said, we would go to his studies. We would follow him. And it was shortly around that time that Ron had begun his ministry apart from his father. Nate had his work, and when Ron, as I stated in the last program, when God called him to the ministry, he and his father began their ministries separate, but in Southern California. Ron would eventually have his fellowships down there. He would work with, he was on the air on Wolfman Jack's station during the day for about 2 years. And, but anyhow, you go back to the previous program, get more detail. So I'm sitting there and I am just listening to how the Lord had, you know, worked things out sovereignly. They couldn't believe it. Eventually, Ron would ask Max to come to a Sunday meeting and preach. And, you know, he opened the podium up to Max, and Max would give a message to the group. So now there was a day when Ron was in a fellowship. He had been invited to speak to one of the Pentecostal churches in L.A. There was a brother by the name of Fuller. And this Mr. Fuller, he was from Delta, Colorado. And Ron and Mr. Fuller would become, this brother would become real good friends. And Mr. Fuller, living in Delta, the Lord had called him one day, told him, go to Oakland. I want you to go out there and begin to minister in Oakland. And it was this Fuller who went to Oakland, California, and began the great Pentecostal revival in Oakland back in the 70s. And out of that, in that time period, you would have this individual by the name of Mario Murillo. He was ministering in Berkeley. He had his fellowship there. So things tie together. But Amy McPherson, who had started the work in Southern California, wanted to duplicate that work in Oakland, California. And God did not allow her to do that. God opened the ministry or sent this brother Fuller, Pastor Fuller, to Oakland. And there was the great revival in Oakland, California, San Francisco, Berkeley, during the Jesus Movement. I'll just throw that in as a tidbit. Ron was giving a message on a Sunday to a Pentecostal group, a church in L.A., and just out of nowhere, Ron said, and today, this afternoon, I am going to be flying to South Korea, and I will be leaving. The Lord is asking me to go and minister to the Pentecost, to the churches in Korea. the Pentecostal churches. Well, Ron had told me the story. His wife, she was shocked. The boy was, the son was 15. They were like, what? What? And Ron said that afternoon after the meeting, someone came over. They had a visit. They had a talk. There was an agreement made that he would go over, preach to the Pentecostal assemblies. They gave him his ticket, and he flew out. He lands in Korea. And when he landed, the itinerary changed. The Pentecostal assemblies decided that they wanted him to preach upon along certain lines. And Ron said, well, that wasn't what we'd agreed to. I was coming over, and this was going to be my message, and now you're changing it. They said, yes, we're paying your way here without our, you know, your way back. We're going to pay your way back. So you're going to, you know, this is what we want you to preach. And he said, well, I'm not going to do that. They said, well, then you're not going to preach. And Ron told them, and I remember sitting with him, and he told me, he said, brother, I looked at these men, and I said, God sent me here to preach the gospel, and I'm here to preach the gospel, and you have no say in the matter. You have no say in the matter. And they said, well, you'll not be preaching from our churches and our pulpits. He said, that's fine. I'm here to preach the gospel. God will work it out. So he said after that, he was staying with a little family, and he began to just, during the day, he'd walk. He said, South Korea is full of hills. He said, I would just take a walk, walk up to a hill, and just take a walk and pray. One day I'm on a hill, and here comes a government car, a vehicle. It was government. And the car stops, and a gentleman gets out and walks over and says, are you Pastor Perry? He goes, well, yes, I am Ron Perry, but I'm an evangelist. He goes, Pastor, there is a woman who wants to talk to you. And he said, well, so he walked over to the car, he got in. She had been sick for, I think, 20 years with some kind of sickness. And she'd heard about him and how he'd come to preach, and that word got around that he'd pray for people and they'd get healed. And she said, I've had this problem for 20 years, and it was a female problem. And she asked, would you pray for me? He says, yes. He says, I'd be glad to pray for you. He said, I prayed for her. We talked. She thanked me. I got out of the vehicle. I went back to praying. She drove away. The next day, I'm on the same hill praying. Here comes another government car. But this one had flags on the front of the fenders. And he's trying to figure this out. And he said, the car stops, out steps two men, and they walk up. Are you Pastor Perry? He goes, well, yes, I'm Ron Perry. I'm an evangelist. How can I help you? And the shorter of the two said, yesterday, my sister came up here, and you prayed for her. She's healed. She's had this problem for 20 years, and she called me to tell me what happened. She said she's completely fine. So I wanted to come up and thank you. And so you've come to South Korea to preach? He goes, yes. He said, are you preaching now? He says, well, no, because I had made an agreement with the Assemblies of God to preach a certain message and they want me to change my message. So I'm not preaching right now. And this young military man said, do you want to preach? Ron said, well, yes. I will preach anywhere that God opens, you know, wherever he would want me to preach. He goes, well, I'm the head of the Presbyterian churches in South Korea. Would you preach in a Presbyterian church? And Ron said, I will preach anywhere the Lord opens a door. I would be honored to preach in the Presbyterian churches. And he says, okay. He says, well, when do you want to begin? He goes, well, it's the middle of the week. Ron said, tonight, whenever. He says, okay, I'll arrange it. And he arranged for Ron to begin preaching that night. For those of you that are older listening to this program, the individual that had come up to visit Ron, his name was, he was known as General Kim. He was the general of the military in South Korea, General Kim. And he was the head of all the Pentecostal, or all of the Presbyterian churches in South Korea. So this is how God is going to now jump the ocean. This is in 1976 when Ron goes to Korea, South Korea. 1976, right after 1976-77. Carter is sworn in 77. And I believe it was in the summer of 77 that Ron went to Korea. The doors opened. The Holy Spirit is now going to move to Asia. So Ron began to preach. They were there for 3 months in Presbyterian churches. And eventually doors would open back with the assemblies, Assembly of God churches, I believe it was. And one night he said the way that they're set up there, he said there's like a big stage, and the Korean people are all sitting in chairs. He said they're very structured. He said, I love to just see all these little black heads of all these little black-headed Koreans sitting out in the audience, male and female. And he said, up on the stage, up on the platform, there are like 4 or 5 pastors, and then I'm speaking. And while I'm speaking, he said, I'm just giving my message. And all of a sudden, I stopped. I looked around. This was kind of toward the end of his time in South Korea. And he said, I knew exactly what to say. The Lord gave me exactly my new message. I stopped and I said, any country that openly worships God as a society and the government acknowledges the God of heaven, that country will be blessed. That country will have financial blessing. There will be no war, and they will have peace. There'll be peace, financial blessing, and their economy will explode. Financial blessing, peace, no war. And he kept continuing, finished his message, but he emphasized that any country that recognizes and acknowledges God from the government position, that country will be blessed with these blessings. After the meeting, these men came over. I think there were 5 or 7. And they said, Brother Perry, we want to ask you, now, you said that if a nation honors God, the government honors God openly, that nation will be blessed. He says, that's exactly what I said. He'll be blessed economically. There'll be your military. There'll be no war. There'll be peace. And he said they walked, stepped away. They started talking in Korean. Came back. Another gentleman said, "So, Brother Perry, the way we understand it, you're saying that if we acknowledge God openly from our positions here in the government, our nation will be blessed. We won't go to war. We will have peace." And Ron said, "That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what God had told me to tell you." So they walked back. They start discussing some things again. They came back. A third individual. "Okay, Brother Perry, now we just want to make sure now." And Ron said, "By this time, I'm thinking, maybe they don't understand what I'm saying." And he's from the South. He's pretty matter of fact. Ron is from the South. "Yes, that's what I'm saying." "So then, Brother Perry, now we just want to make sure that if we acknowledge God openly on the government level, nationally, if we acknowledge God, we're going to be blessed economically?" "Yes." "And there's going to be peace?" "Yes." "And there's going to be no war?" "That's exactly what I said." And they didn't know what to think. South Korea, you look at their history, you look at what happened in South Korea, you look at the many churches, and they basically are a Christian nation. You would get some Pentecostal nonsense over there eventually. It would happen. It did happen. It is happening. But basically, they have had, from 1976, they have openly worshiped and acknowledged God as a society. And you see what has happened in Asia. So that's in 1976. I think Ron was there 76, 77. So later, I'm talking to Max. And I tell Max about what had happened with Ron. And Max said, "You've got to be kidding me." I said, "Nope. I believe Ron went over there in 76. He says, you got to be kidding me." He says, "Brother, I went over with a group of pastors to the local church back to Taiwan, and we went into South Korea. And I gave the exact same message to the Koreans that we were ministering to, the churches in Korea, the local churches. I told them that because they're going to openly honor God from the government positions, openly, nationally, God was going to give them economic health, peace, and free and freedom from war." So I'm saying that I heard the testimony of these two brothers, Max, who was really a overseer of the pastors when I was in Denver, Colorado in 1976 through 78, and Ron working with Ron in 2008, 9, 10, especially 11 and 12. So the Holy Spirit had lifted from that great move in from 60 to 76. That great move ended and lifted, went to Europe and to Asia, and also did go to Africa and to Mexico and the other nations through other ministries during that time period. So the apostasy is beginning. with the election of Jimmy Carter, and God had jumped the ocean and was beginning to work in the nations of the world. And then in this country, we would begin to see the building of the large mega churches. They were no longer small, intimate fellowships. There was no longer intimate prayer, intimate intercession that comes with small congregations. No one knows one another. It's a big move. It's something huge. You know, it is takes on an appearance of being something great. Look what happened to the Wimber Ministries after John Wimber died. They did, to a great degree, continue because of the men that were in some of these little vineyards. They were good men, but eventually the vineyards would die off. There are a few remaining. But the movement is basically ended with the in the IHOP Ministries, the International House of Prayer Ministries, like a big balloon. I gave that, you know, example yesterday, or in the last program, not yesterday. A huge, massive balloon, massive, worldwide, known, no matter from coast to coast, north to south, internationally, International House of Prayer. And then we see the corruption of Mike Bickle. We see his past. Everything is revealed. And then the balloon deflates. And there's not much talk of International House of Prayer anymore. It is deflated. The evidence is still there. But those within that move, that fellowship, that big ministry, it is not what it used to be. There are those that were in, that were truly there for the plans of God, not knowing what had really happened. And the magnitude of the facade. Yes, there were some real things that did happen. Yes, there were people that did pray. There were miracles. But there was much fraud, much deception. All these big ministries now have all been affected with apostasy, with the effects of apostasy. You know, Christ said to the Laodicean church, they are Laodicean churches. These are Laodicean fellowships. You're rich, increase with goods. American Laodicean churches would have some of the grand, massive, palaces that make the Catholic cathedrals in the U.S. kind of, you know, challenge the hugeness, the bigness, the massiveness, the glitter was too much. And with the memberships, you don't have a Catholic church anywhere in this country that has 50,000 people. You don't have a Catholic church that brings in a crowd of 50,000 people, 40,000 people, 30,000 people, and have to have a football stadium. You don't have that. The Catholic Church doesn't do that. None of the other churches, Episcopalian, Anglican, no one. But the evangelical churches Yes. Tammy Baker. Jimmy Baker. It goes on and on. The ministry of Joyce Myers as a woman. I realize that tens of thousands of women having had bad experiences with their father, with men in life, gravitate to women ministers, women pastors. But at the end, when all is done, Joyce Myers, her end is come. She is finished. The balloon is beginning to deflate. It is deflating. And these women are going to have nowhere to go. The women who are wise will find little fellowships with sound pastors, teachers, with those in the assembly that are giving direction to these churches in the deep things of Christ, the teachings on abiding in Christ day by day, living in Him day by day, allowing Him to live in you day by day. This is the fellowship of Watchman Nee, the fellowship of Witness Lee, the fellowship of M.E. Barber, the fellowships of the Baptists, the fundamental Christian teachings, the basics. Christ said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And by the abiding, there's two things. There's a deeper love for the Lord, and there's a deeper realization of the Lord's love for you. And if you abide in Him, then you have a greater, deeper experience of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have a deeper touch, a deeper protection, not only from the Word of God as the Logos, but you have the anointing within. You have the moving and the life within. Again, Christ is life. Everything about Christ is life. Everything that Christ does is so that you will have abundant life. So these two brothers, they go the same year to South Korea, not knowing each other, to give the same message. Max is speaking to the evangelical Christians in the local churches and other churches. Ron Perry is speaking to General Kim's audience, to the Presbyterian churches. This is the way in which God uses His men to speak to the different assemblies, the lampstands. Nate Perry, he speaks to nuns at Notre Dame here in America. First time a Pentecostal or evangelical or any kind of a preacher ever gets to speak in the halls of a Catholic church. It's just not heard of. But he is there and invited twice. This is the way that God works. Even His children giving a message to the Catholic people who don't necessarily understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the nuns, there was that charismatic move within Catholicism. In other words, some in Catholicism recognized the importance of the miracles and the giftings of God. Now, though there has been a great apostasy in all of these churches in Laodicea, still, from the 70s those that were in that, the reality of the moving of the Holy Spirit, there are few still that are still living. There are few that did stay faithful to the Lord. They continued in their spiritual walk and their maturity. And there are some that still do, are still alive. These would be the fathers of the move, of the experience, of the time. They would have an understanding of the moving of the Holy Spirit in those years. And within their children, the younger group, which would be in their 50s average, they would also have a deeper, there are not many. There are a percentage wise, much smaller, that have really engaged with the, like it said in 1 Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 12. Because right now, what I'm going to present to you, there are these, let me read it and then I'll explain. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I have watched YouTubes, and I see some of these young 50, 40, 30-year-old young men giving great, fantastic insight into the word of God, into their relationship with the Lord, into the 20s. This is what Christ said. Young men, you young men, that you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you young men, you've overcome the wicked one. What is the wicked one? I'll discuss that in just a second. It is the world. The world. Out of the baby boom generation, now the fathers are still, many have stayed the course. They are mature. They understand the world, and they understand what has happened in the body of Christ and the deceptions. They have the wisdom to know the men who are there for anything and everything but the kingdom of heaven. The young men now are involved in this great church of God, and they're active in this country. Then you have the little children who know God. They know him. They've known him from the beginning. That their faith, these little young children, they are going to shock their brothers, their older brothers and sisters, and their aunts and uncles, and their fathers and their mothers, because of what God is going to do with them in this time. Also, with their older brothers, the young men, what is going to shock the church is this group, these two young men and children, in conjunction with the fathers. There are ministries that have stated, I have heard, they say, okay, this new generation, you are going to take the lead. You are going to, we're handing the baton to you. I'm not handing my baton to anybody. There's absolutely no way. We're going to give you the baton. Now it's going to be in your hands. No, I don't trust the baton being handed off to this apostate group of young men in these new apostolic reform churches. Absolutely no way. This would be committing suicide. My baton is not being passed off to anybody that I don't know is legitimately sound, solid in Christ. And even then, I work with the young men and the children. And there's a group within this country, in these three age groups, that will know one another. The little children, you can't fool them. They know the phonies. They know the hypocrites. They know who not to trust. They may be young, but they're not stupid. The young men, they know they're in a war. They're in a battle. They have to fight wickedness. They know. They need to be strong. They need to be strong in the Word, and the Word has to abide in them. The Word is Christ Himself. If it's living, then, verse 15, this is the key to for all the fathers, young men, children. This is the key for those in Christ, those that want, that will be effective. Love not the world, the cosmos, neither the things that are in the cosmos. If any man love the cosmos, the love of the Father is not in him. Evangelicals, Catholics, Lutherans, the Greek churches, you members in the Greek churches, you who are suffering, you who are brilliant in the teachings of Christ in Ephesus, you who love your brother, those that are in the living in the principle of Philadelphia, you are living in the greatest nation with the greatest of all that was ever developed. Intellectually, materially, in every way, this is the kingdom. This is the cosmos that Christ told Satan no when he was tempted in the desert. Satan says, I will give you the cosmos. I will let you rule over the cosmos. Christ, seeing from back 2,000 years ago, seeing the world today, looking at the nations and look at the cities in Asia, in Russia, these cities in this country, I will give you a kingdom like no other kingdom to rule over, meaning the United States of America. The pinnacle, the greatest work of the devil, the greatest society, the greatest culture of all mankind, Babylon the Great, that sits in a land that is well watered. Not the sand of sea, not in the sea of sand, but in a nation that is the most well-watered nation on earth, Babylon the Great. Love not the cosmos. And we seven churches, we've got a war, a battle We better take the position of the young of the children. Know the Father. Know the Father. Know who your Father is. He is the Godhead who lives in you if you're born again. Take the position of the young men. Be strong. Be strong. Let the word of God abide in you. Overcome the wicked one. Overcome his system. Overcome his kingdom. Overcome his trap. The cosmos, the world, having the best of everything. Everything available. The best drugs for the wicked. The best in the industry of alcohol. You don't get five or six. You go to Russia, you get vodka, vodka, vodka. You don't get much whiskey. Come to America, whiskey, vodka, tequila, you name it. Thousands or hundreds of different drinks. And the fathers, the men who have seen it all and watched it all, and the wisdom that God has given us, the wisdom and the experience and the deep, deep touch and reality of God and Christ Himself. These three generations, this is what causes great fear to the kingdom of darkness, to the coming wickedness coming into this country, to the world. These lampstands are not just something to understand mentally. There's a reality in the Catholic Church, a deep, deep reality to the knowledge of God Himself with the Greek churches, with the Lutheran, the Episcopalians, the Anglicans, the Methodists, all these assemblies. Every believer in these assemblies, true believer, is at war with the cosmos, with demons. We're targeted for death, sickness, famine. We're targeted. In this country, we may not be suffering what they're suffering in Africa or the other countries in the Arab world or in South America with all the witchcraft from the border of the United States all the way to the tip of Argentina, the deep witchcraft. But we are being targeted, and especially those who are faithful in all these assemblies. Eventually, we will work together, all of these churches in America, members, we will work together. Our allegiances to our systems is not going to matter. Our allegiance will be to Christ Himself. Those that have great allegiance, I've had as a Catholic, my allegiance was to the ways of the Catholic Church. I have friends that were Lutherans, the ways of the Lutherans. I have family, Greek, Orthodox, the ways of the Orthodox churches. My wife, Orthodox, Serbian. But now in evangelical Christianity, but I have seen some of the finest people that are Orthodox believers in Denver, Colorado. They have a massive family of Greek people in Boulder, Colorado. Wonderful people, godly people, All these assemblies have the, to those that are truly faithful, they have a great testimony in their love for Christ, their loyalty to Christ. So these churches, these lampstands, in my future programs, I'm going to now show you these lampstands deeper into the book of Revelation, because they're in the book of Revelation in future chapters, but their dynamic has changed. They're different. Something even more pure. Something more, you might say, powerful. That's not a good word. It's something more terrifying to the world, to the kingdom of darkness, more glorifying to the God of heaven, and to be put on display to the nations of the world. And the nations of the world will really get to see the glory of Almighty God. They will get to see the reality of Christ. They'll get to know that there is hope, that there is eternal hope. There is a world that we are, that is coming against us. It is a cosmos. It's not just cars and homes and food. No, it's a culture of evil. It's a culture of perversion. It's the idolatry of Egypt and the sexual perversion of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the manifestation of demonic forces, the eventually it is a country that will actually join with other nations to take armies to the Middle East to war with Christ in a battlefield, as if that isn't the stupidest thing. But they're so deceived, they will eventually, when they feel they have eliminated all Christians, they will go after the Jewish people in Israel. And they'll be very successful. These children of the devil, John phrased them that way. I'll conclude this program with this verse. First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 10. I'll start with verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin, because he is born of God. Verse 10. By this, one thing, by this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. What a statement. What a statement. Think about that. By this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. This is the Apostle John. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Look at the world. It's unrighteous. Neither is he that loves not his brother. Look at the hatred of Christian toward Christian. Okay. Podcasts, again, are always archived on thispresenttruth.com to the Olive Tree section. Contact me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And we are in the final decade, and every Christian is going to have to make a decision whether to love the cosmos, love their brother and God. They have to make a decision. May the Lord Jesus bless you. May the Lord Jesus keep you. I'll be back again. Thank you. God bless you.